This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I think there were some fake tears at the end of the finals.
No, Tatum. Jay, come on, Jay.
Tatum is my guy. I love Jason Tatum. And I don't remember this. I get, or maybe I do. I'm not sure. But the Celtics win, and he stops, and he puts his hand down in his face. And remember, he's got the microphone on now. So you hear for
Netflix.
Netflix. So you hear. So you hear that, and you see all of this, and then he moves his hand. Not a goddamn tear in sight. No tears. No red eyes. He just grabs Deuce, and they go on about their business. And it's like, all right, Jay. Like, I don't know, man. But
anything.
He tried so hard, man. My brother tried so hard.
That's my boy, man. That's my boy, Jason Tatum, man.
It's a really good series. I don't want to relive my day yesterday ever, but if it was ever, I'm so happy that I realized that Netflix series had come out, because I was able to watch the entire thing before the Kings game started. So
that's good stuff.
I spent my entire day doing that.
And you know, I'll probably finish it. I don't know when I'll finish it. I'll probably finish this, because I really, you know, I love the NBA. I love basketball. So I'll finish this before I finish.
Well, if the 49ers lose tonight, you'll probably finish it by Sunday.
Hell yeah. It'll be done by Saturday. You know what I'm saying? Because I ain't going to be watching no previews. I ain't going to be listening to no previews. It's whatever. But I think you understand this. That's why we had the same reaction. When we talk about, like, the guy is a star, Netflix don't have to do nothing. It's an aura that Anthony Edwards didn't do anything at the end of episode one, but walk through a tunnel and then smile. And we were like, oh, snap, this dude is a star. It's the same thing we saw with Justin Jefferson. It's like, Justin Jefferson didn't do nothing. He was just kind of, standing at the drawer messing with his jewelry. And we're like, this dude's a mega star.
What also makes it brilliant, when they do the full introduction and they do the LeBron thing before, where LeBron's talking about, you know, if there's a, you know, someone out there who's you know, better conditioned than me, you know, who can get up and down, or, you know, whatever, said the way that I do, then, you know, maybe I'll sit down for a little while. And then it cuts to the Lamborghini revving up. And here comes Ant-Man. And it's like, that editing is perfect. It's so perfect.
Yeah, man. I can't wait to see that. I was watching that last night as I was putting Ryan to sleep, and that's how I saw the end of the first episode. I was like, oh, I gotta see if the homie saw this one, and little did I know you saw the whole thing.
The whole damn thing.
What did Katie think about she didn't like Anthony Edwards. What did she think about everything else?
She really likes Domas. I don't she didn't watch all 10 episodes with me, even though she was laid up ill too at her house. Let me find out what she wrote. I just remember the first thing she wrote, oh my god, I hate this Anthony Edwards guy. I was like, no, that's, yeah, sure, I already don't like Anthony Edwards. I said, yeah, he's definitely a villain. And she goes, oh, that's a great way of putting that. In that case, I might like him. I said, well, just let it play out and let me know what you think. And she was like, okay, wait a minute. This is like Housewives. There has to be someone you're friends with.
The Housewives.
She said there has to be someone to be friends with, a train wreck, someone who stirs the plot, someone you want to help, and someone you can't stand. I'm like, okay, I'll ask Kenny, but I guess that works. And then I think she went back to watching something else because she didn't text about starting five after that. She's done. But I know she got a couple of episodes.
Baseball needs to get in this bag.
Netflix, oh my god, absolutely.
And Netflix, they could do a lot with baseball, because we talk about this all the time. There are just as many characters in baseball than there is,
yeah,
as there is in any. They just don't get the opportunity because you have the different cultures and you got all this other stuff. Like you get a Tatis, you know, you get a Tatis with an Ohtani with a Pete Alonso or something like that, or Francisco Lindor. Like, yeah, baseball need to hop on that.
And Francisco's Lindor's episode with what he did last night.
Oh my goodness!
My God!
I was watching that
right now.
I was watching that while I was talking to Kim in Complex, and then I just forgot what they were saying because Lindor hit the grand slam, and I stopped. I said, "Oh," and that's my boy right there. That's my boy Francisco Lindor. And shout out to my guy Matthew. We've been talking about Matthew the last 2 days. Matthew Pearson, you know, friend of the show. Sorry, Phillies are gone.
Well,
Phillies are gone.
Philadelphia sports fans are used to it. They'll be fine.
You know, I was thinking about it yesterday too. I said, you know, when am I gonna end this feud with the city of Philadelphia? Because I like Philly, and I do like Philly. You know, they were just talking a little crazy for a little bit with the whole Eagles Niners thing. But when is this gonna end? When am I gonna, you know, show love for the city of Philadelphia that I have for Philly? I don't know if it's coming anytime soon, but you know, I thought about it. That's a step, right?
Sure.
Yeah, it's a step. I actually thought about it. Like I thought about Seattle, right? Like I was like, Seattle, maybe it is time for you to get a basketball team. Maybe. Not sure yet. Them poor people, they still got to wait about 3-4 years.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like that's as close as we thought it might be. Yeah. I mean, TV deal done. All right, here we go. Here comes this. I don't think that's really the case.
I would say this.
Because LeBron's not retired yet, so it can't happen until LeBron retires.
Expansion is held up because LeBron won't retire yet. But I think we get an announcement that we're going to move towards looking towards expansion this All-Star weekend. And maybe you get the announcement this offseason. Maybe.
This offseason for what?
For expansion.
It
might be next offseason.
Well, you probably want to settle the lawsuit with Turner first.
Well.
you probably want to get that dealt with before. Like, they have to come to a conclusion with that before the season starts, don't they?
You would think, but I don't think they will.
Over the season?
I don't think they will. I saw some article yesterday about whatever deadline got extended or something like that, like a deadline to finish the lawsuit, something like that. Like it could have been resolved or whatever, but I guess they're still working on some things. So, yeah, I think you get an expansion announcement next offseason, 2026. and they'll start in 2028. That's my prediction.
What other king would you want to see on starting five?
Malik.
Hmm.
Malik, kind of funny. Malik will do some things too, right? Like he'll go golfing. I think that's what's taking over his life right now is golfing. But he talks about how he a country dude. He might go on like a trail. He might go hunting or something like that.
Like, what about Keegan?
I think Keegan will be more exciting than we probably think. Like he'll be more entertaining.
Well, Keegan, we learn something.
Like, there's that.
Like, there'd have to be. You can't possibly be boring for an entire 10 episode show. We learned something.
You know, you asked this question, and I was really thinking about who's going to be on next year's starting five. And I was like, I wonder if they'll get a king on there again. They probably won't. But what did you think about DeMar? You think DeMar would be interesting?
Yeah, he would be interesting. Guy at the later stages of his career. Yeah, he'd be interesting, sure.
Yeah, I thought DeMar might be somebody. Fox would be good, too. I'd love to see Fox.
I
don't think he'd do it. I think there would be times when you would get Fox just like saying whatever's on his mind about basketball particularly. But like if like, you know, the All-Star announcements are going on, and I mean, this is so stupid. Like, this is really dumb. Like, like TNT, like, why would you do something like this? Is stupid.
He'd be, you know who the closest to that is in this starting five is Jimmy.
Mm.
Jimmy, when he got hurt, I think it was in the playoffs, is him dumbass Kelly Oubre. It's like, oh, yeah. We know Jimmy.
Oh man, but yeah, I got to check that out. Like you said, things go depending on how things go tonight. I might watch all 10 episodes tonight.
We'll talk about that as the day progresses, because we do have football to watch tonight. That's for sure. Sean Cunningham tweeted not too long ago: Malik Monk is not at practice today. He will join the team later this afternoon in San Francisco. Of course, most of us learned that Malik played that stretch in the game last night and then left due to personal reasons. Mike was asked in a very non-specific way about Malik last night and him leaving, and Mike said, no, there's nothing to be worried about. He left for personal reasons, and we think he'll be at practice tomorrow. We don't think he's going to miss any time with us. So, yeah, I guess that's that. He did in fact miss practice today, but as Sean Cunningham reported, he's expected to join the team in San Francisco, where they'll play again the Golden State Warriors tomorrow night at the Chase Center.
Yeah, man, I certainly hope everything's okay, and you know, he's just okay, like not even worried about getting back out on the floor and all this other stuff. Just, you know, whatever's going on, make sure you know you're able to take care of it, and everything's all right, man. Another thing that I thought about, like you talk about, they go play the Warriors tomorrow. Man, I'm tired of seeing the Warriors. Like, I'm just tired of. I'm sick and tired of seeing Kings Warriors. I'm over it. I don't know if it's the Warriors or Steph Curry. Maybe a combination of both. But yeah, I'm tired.
One in the same.
Yeah. When do they play during the season? Do we get like a couple months before they play each other? I got to check that.
That's a good question. I can't remember. I remember it was one of the first. I don't imagine it's very early, because the Kings have, if I remember right, it's the Lakers. Mm-hmm. They have the Lakers like three or four times, really, really early in the season, and they're just taking on the role that the Warriors had last year. So, you know,
I'm trying to see here. I'm trying to pull it up real quick. I think they don't play for the first 2 months of the season. I think the first game
says it's January 5th.
Yeah, January 5th on a Sunday. That's when we're gonna be. That's when we're taking the bus down there to the.
No, who's we?
The D-Lo. Who's we? The ESPN 1320 D-Lo and KC presents the trip of a lifetime.
You just keep putting our name on stuff. Like, we're not going to get in trouble for that.
Yeah, man, we're gonna try to take the Capitol Corridor down to Chase Center.
It's gonna be the bus ride from hell, like the WWE plane ride. The bus ride from hell. Kenny gonna be serving bologna sandwiches. And...
what happened on that ride? Were they just doing a bunch of drugs or something?
Yeah, amongst other things. Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Oh, man.
Yeah. The funny thing is I think there were actually two plane rides from hell.
Oh, my gosh.
But, yeah, I'm not really sure. There's one where Vince McMahon wrestled Kurt Angle and Undertaker, and they woke up Undertaker, and he didn't know what was going on, and he saw that Kurt Angle had taken down Vince McMahon. So Undertaker got up and put Kurt Angle in a chokehold. Yeah. It might have been
all the same plane ride, honestly.
Was it really?
I think so. Well, yeah.
And then there's one where they cut Michael Hayes' ponytail off.
That's the same plane ride.
Same plane ride.
Same one, yep. And then something with, there's a Linda McMahon story in there where someone got stopped. Yeah, yep.
Leave that one.
There's like five or seven different stories from that one plane ride. And they're all just wild.
Really does sound like the plane ride from hell.
No. We'll come back. We mentioned that the King starters, the core, if you will, they looked great last night. But what about everybody else? We'll talk more about the Kings preseason game last night against the Golden State Warriors. We'll do the one KC return here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
D'Lo and KC on your airwaves after the Kings are back.
Back.
They didn't win yesterday, but
Just to put a bow on something we were talking about a second ago, I think Katie from the Wake Up Call is going to have to come in and do a breakdown.
Oh.
Of the starting five. She just sent a follow-up text. It said, I have some strong opinions on this minutes restriction thing that they put on LeBron James. And her description is amazing, and I couldn't do it justice. So we might have to have Katie from the Wake Up Call come back in.
That sounds like his man, though.
And break down the starting five.
Yeah, that sounds like it's mandatory.
You talked about the Kings being back in action last night. Of course, they'll play again, the Golden State Warriors, tomorrow. And we've talked about Malik, who will rejoin the team in San Francisco. We talked about top five offense. We talked about how easy things looked. We talked about the mid-range game. We talked about the fact that they were able to score 68 points on mostly two-point baskets, only four made threes there in that first half. And really what we're breaking down is the core group, the starting group, the main guys. What about everybody else, though? What about that second half of basketball? Anything in that second half? Anything with that other group of individuals? Now, keep in mind, there's no Kevin Huerter. Mm-hmm. There's no Jordan McLaughlin. There's no Trey Lyles. There's no Devin Carter, even. Right. There's still a lot missing from this Sacramento Kings group. But we had a second half of basketball to play without the starters, so we saw some guys get on the floor.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't overly impressed with anybody. I liked what I saw from a guy like Boogie Ellis. I just liked his grit. You know, that's a guy right there that he was one of the best players in the country coming out of high school, and even when he was in college, he was looked at as one of the best players in the country. So he's somebody that can score. He's somebody that can play basketball at a high level. It has that in him. So I wasn't overly surprised, I should say, not impressed. I wasn't overly surprised with what I thought about him. Isaac Jones, he opened some eyes or whatever. I didn't see anybody that I think should be cracking the rotation, though. I didn't see that. And it's just on that game. It's just on that game. But I didn't see anybody like, hey, you know, you might have to give this guy, you know, some look. Isaac Jones, like I said, he might be the closest. Boogie, even with how I liked what I saw from him, I don't think he should be on the main squad just yet. I think he's a guy that should probably be in Stockton, and you develop him over the next year or so. So, yeah, I didn't see much. I didn't see much out of that group.
So, okay, let's start there then. Given the way we led into this conversation, Jordan, Trey, Huerter, Devin Carter, guys being out, is that a concern?
No, it's not, because I think those guys that are in the, you know, the top five, six of the rotation, they'll play the lion's share of the minutes until those guys get back. So I'm trying to think right now who would play. Probably Jalen McDaniels, Alex Lynn. That might be about it that would play, you know, with Huerter and Lyles out. And you get Jordan back as well. He'll get into the rotation. So he'll get those minutes instead of the Mason Jones minutes. That's my guy. That's my guy, Mace. But, you know, it'll probably be Jordan in front of him. So I don't – you know, maybe Scal gets in there while Trey Lyles is out, but I just think it would just be more minutes for the main guys. He probably goes.
I didn't even think Scal would make the roster.
He might not. Yeah, he might not. I didn't think you saw a lot of Sacramento Kings out there last night.
I see. Yeah. Maybe some Stockton Kings, or maybe some just some. Some guys elsewhere.
And to your point, to like the weren't, if that's a concern or not, I think, like I said, Jalen will probably be in the rotation. Alex Lynn as seven. Monk is eight. Yeah, it might just be an eight-man rotation. And maybe, like I said, maybe it's an Isaac Jones. Maybe it's a Scal or somebody like that gets some spot minutes here and there. But it's only one of them. Like, of all those guys that we saw – you know, in the second half last night, I think only one of them gets some types of minutes with this team on opening night.
Maybe not opening night, but maybe a couple of weeks in. I vaguely remember. Wasn't there a point last year, relatively early in the season, where Mike said something about we don't want to play Domas as much as it feels like we have to? And maybe it wasn't Domas. Maybe it was a combination of guys. But I kind of remember us saying something similar last year where, you know, we go through this roster and we kind of parcel it down and go, yeah, it'd be a pretty limited rotation. And in the end, it does get to a pretty limited rotation. But at the start, I feel like Mike usually looks for other guys to step in there. So he doesn't have to play guys 30 plus minutes per game as much as we sometimes say, well, Malik needs to play 30 minutes. De'Aaron needs to play, you know, 35 to 40 minutes. Same with Domas. Same with the big dogs. Those big dogs got to play big dog minutes. I do wonder if we wind up seeing whether it's Jalen or Isaac Jones or guys come in there to kind of reprieve some of those stars a little bit. I think you have enough rotation at the guard position that you could keep your guards pretty fresh with pretty strong guys. And, you know, maybe that's where, you know, Mason Jones comes in or somebody else. I just feel like you probably don't really need it in the two guard positions. But I do wonder if Mike's going to look for a couple of extra bodies really to start the season to keep those per game minutes down a little lower than I think most Kings fans are hoping for, but what Mike might be hoping for an elongated season.
See, I think it might be the exact opposite. I think he might play them what he feels he needs to play. He's talking about Sabonis and to be honest with you, I feel like that's like the only guy you're really worried about. Maybe DeRozan, because he's a little been in the league a little longer than most of these guys, but I think Sabonis is the guy you're really looking at when you talk about trying to manage minutes. And if I was Mike, I'd probably just worry about that a little bit more once Trey Lyles gets healthy. You know what I mean? Domas for, you know, his first 2-3 weeks of the season or whatever the case may be, you know, you're 33, 34 minutes a night. You know what I mean? Get out there, get ready to play, you know, and then as the season goes along and I get some of my clear rotational guys back from injury, or if we make a deal or whatever, that's when I start to ease back on the minutes a little bit. But this season, part of why I think the Kings are going to be so good and have the record I think they're going to have is, we talked about this, they're going to take the regular season just as serious as anybody out there. And they know the importance, especially in this conference, in the Western Conference, of getting off to a good start, making sure that you're taking care of whatever games that you have early in the season to set you up as the season goes along. And I think Mike Brown is going to coach that way. And I think the Kings players are going to play that way. That sense of urgency.
Do you remember that line that I'm talking about last year?
Yeah. I remember. I don't know word for word, bar for bar, but I remember that thinking.
Well, I just remember us having a conversation going, Mike, that's the exact opposite of what we're talking about. Like, let them play. Let them dudes get out there and play. But I guess we'll see. It was just a thought, and that's a last year thought. That's hearkening back to something he said last year. Something he said last night, though, that got my attention. And I don't know, anytime someone says Keon Ellis's name, I guess I just start paying closer attention.
You got a radar. You got a Keon Ellis alert.
I guess it was at the very end of his post game presser where he was talking about Keon last year. And he said something along the lines of Keon, you know, he was talking about Malik going down. He was talking about you know, losing Kevin Herter with 2 months to go, losing Malik with, you know, a month and a half, and you know how difficult that was. And then that's before you really got Keon into outplaying his role. And I thought that was a hell of a line. That was a hell of a look into what they thought of Keon last year at the moment and might play a little bit into why it feels like we've listened to them and felt like they may have had some reservations about Keon this year. They had him, they had a vision of him doing something last year, even after he'd been playing, even after he had been playing well, up to the point of him stepping into that starting position full time, because the depth at that position had completely been eliminated. They kind of slotted him and he outplayed it. Like, he played beyond what they expected. And it leads me to believe, well, they saw him as one thing. All right, you get through this season, and then, you know, you, as you evaluate rosters, you evaluate performances, you probably have to do it in maybe a bit of a grander way than some of us might. And part of that might be, well, Keon was a, and this is a completely pessimistic view on this, so hear me out, but, wow, you know, Keon, he was able to do some good things. Obviously, he's an incredible impact on the defensive end. He hit some open threes. Well, of course he hit some open threes, because everybody's focused on De'Aaron and some of the other offensive weapons weren't out there. And, you know, Domas isn't going to really create his own shot unless he's down by the basket. And you're coming up with all of these reasons as to why what Keon did was maybe fool's gold, or how what Keon did wasn't really who Keon is as a player. And I wonder if they did that this offseason and that came across in the, oh yeah, even when Keon stepped in and played his little minutes and the couple of different lines that we heard where it's like, man, what do these two guys really think of Keon Ellis? And I think part of it is, part of me wonders if they're not sure what to think of Keon Ellis. Even to this day, I wonder if they're still not sure what to think of Keon Ellis, because they see these, you know, these offensive performers like Domas and Malik and De'Aaron, and now you throw DeMar into that, and like, no matter how good you think Keon is, he's probably not one of those guys. You know, he has a peak skill set that's somewhere else, and that's really on the defensive end. It's not to say that he can't do things on the offensive end. It's not to say that he can't create, he can't drive. It's not to say that he can't hit threes. It's to say that the other side of the floor is probably where he's best. And I wonder if the fact that they've just kind of slotted him in a certain position, that even though he outplayed it for a little while, it has them maybe influencing the way that they feel about him, at least entering the season. Of course, perceptions can always change. Opinions can always change. But I wonder if entering this season, if they still kind of see him as, yeah, I'm not really sure if what he did was sustainable through an entire season.
That's an interesting.
Again, it's one line for like the third time in 4 months that I'm picking apart that either Mike Brown or Monty McNair said like, about Keon Ellis.
Mike Brown said, nah, Keon played good last night. Oh, so they think he just played good last night. But no, I mean, I have the same thoughts. I have the same questions about how they look at Keon Ellis. And Mike also had said something on Media Day about Keon, and kind of the same vein of what you just mentioned, but he took it all the way back to like the beginning of the season last year. And it was a blowout game against Houston. And he said, I just threw Keon in there, and he played at a high level, and he played with a level, with an intensity that caught my eye. And then there was another game, maybe a couple games later or a game later, put him out there. He did the same thing. And he talked about how those two moments kind of solidified Keon as saying, no, I'm here. I'm ready to contribute. And he looked at it. He looked at those moments as eye-opening for Keon Ellis. Now, we went a number of different games without playing him again after those games. But that was a little glimpse maybe on the opposite end of them looking at Keon as like, no, this guy is capable. This guy is somebody that could and should be in our rotation. Now, that is also different than he should be the starting two guard. And we still don't know if they really look at him like that. Because even when they come with the yeah, he's going to be our starting two guard, it's the caveat of because Kevin's hurt. and Kevin's not healthy. So almost by default, because Kevin isn't healthy and Mike just has no interest in starting Malik Monk ever. Well, you got to have Keon out there. And yeah, dude, I know they think he's capable, but like you mentioned, is he capable of doing it all year long? Is he capable of being the starting two guard on a team that has aspirations of moving on in the playoffs? I don't know if they buy that yet.
Mm.
They should. Yeah.
I agree. I don't know. I guess for me, it all boils down to when Kevin Huerter is back. If Huerter isn't back in time, like, I don't think he's going to play a preseason game.
Just running
through that press release in my head, I don't think he's going to play a preseason game. Like, if I think we did the math at the time where if we broke it down to the, like, literal most definition of how they laid it out, it took us to like the middle of next week. The middle of next week is the end of preseason, right? In a week before, you know, the start of the regular season, the first time the game is played. I'm not sure if Huerter goes out there on game one as a starter. So the idea might be Keon has the job to start and could lose it. Or maybe Keon has the job and Kevin has to take it.
Yeah, and I don't even know what that looks like, because if Keon is the starter on opening night, which we both believe that'll be the case because just the timing of it all. Mm-hmm. Say the Kings start 11-3. Like, what you just going to put Kevin Huerter in the starting lineup for what?
You know? Yeah, I don't think you are.
And if Kevin is playing well in his role. You know what I mean? So it feels like Keon, you know, mm-hmm. roundabout way is in control of his own destiny, right? Like, if he plays well, yeah. If the Kings are playing well, you mm-hmm. don't give them any reason to even think about making a change in the starting lineup. You got to play well, though. Team's got to play well.
What if the team plays well?
And Keon is just average?
Sure.
I don't think you mess with the starting lineup. If they're getting off to a hot start, I don't think you're messing with the starting lineup.
Yeah, I got you.
Now, okay. What could also be a little weird, right, is if, you know, they're playing all right and, you know, maybe they have a weak stretch where they go 0-3 or something like that. And then Mike changes the starting two guard real quick. Like, oh, man, come on, man. Like, they started off 11-3. They have a bad week where they lose three games, 11-6, and now we're making adjustments in the starting lineup. Like, and I don't want to see that. I don't want to see that. I want some type of consistency, cohesion, to that lineup, to that rotation. And it just feels like Kevin Huerter might start off behind the eight ball because of the injury.
Yeah. He's definitely behind the eight ball because of the injury. So it sounds like there's no, if they're playing, yeah, I guess I'm with you. If you're playing well, there's no point in making a change to the starting lineup. It just feels like, and Mike isn't saying as much, like Keon is the starter. At least for 2 weeks from yesterday, yeah. It feels like he's the starter.
Yeah. There's nobody else.
Yeah.
No. I mean, well, there is, but.
Well, there will be. I mean, yes, there is, obviously. and by that time, there will be, whether he's in the, shape. And that's the other thing. Like, it's not like Kevin's not playing.
Right.
It's not like he can't train. It's not like he can't do anything. Like, we saw him on the court, you know, with DC in some video a couple of weeks ago in Southern California. He looked great. He certainly looked in shape. He's just not doing the full contact 5-on-5. Now, I'm sure that's a bit of a different that's different. That's a bit of a different cardio. That's a bit of a different physical exertion. But again, it's not like he's not on a basketball floor running with a basketball in his hand doing basketball related things. Mm-hmm. It's just being able to collide with somebody and hit somebody in that 5-on-5 physical activity. It's just that right. that he doesn't have right now. And that's that to me, like this isn't stepping on the floor for the first time after an ACL or after an Achilles or after some sort of lower leg injury where you've got to find your legs. It's like, no, that's his legs are the thing that have been working the hardest.
Yeah.
So
in this scenario,
that was a really long way of saying, I think he's going to be ready very, very quickly after returning.
So that's what I was about to ask you too. I mean, like, what does that look like? That's like two weeks.
Maybe honestly, a week? Immediately. Like if he's running the floor and you explain this to me, he's on a basketball floor with a basketball in his hands and he's running off, you know, screens or he's running around cones and he's shooting shots and he's on the floor. How different is that than 5-on-5?
It is a little different. It's hard to explain. But it is.
Well, I'm sure a lot of it is on the defensive side where you're chasing somebody and you're not as in control of your movements. Like that's a little bit more.
Yeah.
That's a little bit more taxing physically. I get that. But like, is that going from a man? I'm in like a 10. If I'm rating my scale on 1 to 10, I'm a 10. Mm. But then I get to 5-on-5, and all of a sudden I'm a 6. Like, I don't think it's that drastic, is it?
There's a feel that you get out there on the court, like a rhythm that may take some time. That may take, I would say about 2 weeks. Now, these are top flight athletes. You know, he has been working out a lot, you know, so it's not necessarily a shape thing. It's more of a rhythm and a feel for the game that I think is something that might take him a week or two to get used to. And then also you talk about like the being cleared for contact. You got to get used to that. You got to maybe trust the shoulder a little bit, like get beat up, you know, have somebody give you a shoulder check or you shoulder check somebody coming across the lane and do it at 100%, right? Like not think twice about it, not protect it. Know that, oh, I'm giving him this little bump. We're on the break or whatever the case may be, a one-on-one, and he's on my shoulder and I give him the little bump. Or I jump into him not thinking about it, not worried about it. Somebody swipe down, I'm not scared, nothing like that. So that might take some practice time. That might take, honestly, the best thing for him, and I know you feel the same way, the best thing for him in that situation is coming off the bench and experiencing those things in a game situation and not having to be thrown right into the fray of being a starter in the starting five. So
sure.
I wonder, like, because it was the day before we did the time frame, and best case scenario was like the day before the opening night. It feels like if that's the time when he gets cleared, it might be at least 2 weeks before.
Oh, I don't think it was the day before opening night, was it? I think it was the day before the last preseason game.
So he'd have
We knew he'd have camp.
Okay.
But it's a week. He would literally have the final week. And I don't even know if that's called camp anymore as much as it's preparation for the Minnesota Timberwolves.
I'd say so in that case, like I said, 2 weeks, you'd have a week off of just practice and things of that nature. And then you get a week of games. I'd bring him off the bench there because, you know, the practice is different than the game. So
sure.
you want to see him out there and get a feel for what's going on out there. And then by then it's not too many games. Maybe we're looking at like 4 or 5 games. Maybe you could just, you know, you're 2-2, you know, maybe you could throw him in the starting lineup there if you want to. The interesting thing about all this is we have now, just because we've talked about it enough and tried to figure out like what the hell is going on with Keon. Why don't they give him, you know, enough love when they talk about him? We've now done a 180 and Mike likes Kevin Huerter and we'll start him.
Well, maybe they talked it out. Head over to trainwithmap.fit/ESPN1320. Take advantage of all of the free things that they have set up for us. They built this website for us. It's trainwithmap.fit/ESPN1320. They got a free nutritionist consultation that you could book. It could be through Zoom. It could be in person. It could be through text. It could be on the phone. It could be whatever you'd like it to be. They will help you get started on a nutrition plan that will get your health and your fitness in a better place. They also got a free macro calculator, help you decide what types of foods that you need to eat, and a link right there to maptrition.com where you can get the protein powders that we talk about, the strength enhancers, the cravings crushers, the sleep enhancers, all of that good stuff. It's trainwithmap.fit/ESPN1320. We'll come back. We've got much more to talk about in the NBA, much more to talk about around the world of sports with Elam and KC, you know, Sacramento sports leader, ESPN 1320.
Back here, I'm sorry, I forget you can't hear. We're back here on D-Lo and KC on ESPN 1320. I'm just hearing the music. I'm forgetting you can't hear. My fault.
Get you a better partner than the one that I got. Boy, God, we could have been talking about anything right there.
Man. Oh, we've been on the air for 10 minutes. I'm sorry. My mistake. But no, during the break, the Matthews Mattress Chatty House, we were trying to figure out this NBA League Pass situation. And this is my first foray. Is that how you say it? Evan Fourier? I don't know how you say it. But this is my first trip into into League Pass and connecting it to my TV provider, because I did not get League Pass through Xfinity. They're saying with YouTube TV, you have to, I always thought if you bought League Pass on NBA.com, you can link it to your YouTube TV. You said it's the exact opposite.
I think it's the other way around, where if you buy it through YouTube TV, you can link it through NBA.com. That way you can log in and watch it from wherever.
And this came about because now Kyle Randa, our guy in the Matthews Master Chatty House, he says you cannot buy it through YouTube TV anymore.
Now, obviously, we're live on the air, and it's not the best idea to try to research this while we're while we're doing this. But, maybe they're right. Let's see. I see Red Zone. I see WNBA League Pass. Yeah, maybe you can't.
They need to fix that.
Well, you know why that might be? Oh, no, it's right there. Y'all are bugging, man. Stop listening. I'm looking at it right now. It's right here. It's fine. Just because y'all don't know how to do it, it's right here. Mm. You can still get it.
Now, I don't know why I like it. It's the same price. It's the same price, but they just charged me $23 monthly, man. Don't hit me with the $2.99 over the head right then and there. Just give me $23 monthly. Is that an option for YouTube TV?
Yeah. Okay. Yep. The entire season is either $109.99 or you can pay monthly for $16.99.
It's only $109 for NBA League Pass?
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty damn good. I think when it was
know what Red Zone costs, because it's not $109.99.
What is Red Zone? $300?
Red Zone is, or not Red Zone. I meant, Sunday Ticket, Sunday Ticket cost. Oh, it won't show me.
don't even show the price no more. Just get it and you figure it out later. That's what they say.
Yeah. They don't even show me what it's worth. It's not $109.99. I know that for sure.
That's crazy. Cause that's a hell of a bargain. I probably shouldn't say anything else. Just like I did with ESPN Plus, and then they start upping the price. I ain't getting the NBA. No.
Yeah, it's gone from $4 to like $25 since you've said that. And they just combine it now with like Disney and what is it? Hulu. I think Hulu's the other one.
Yeah. So yeah, I'll definitely get my league pass back in there.
Got you again, man. Huh? Goodness, I think the Chatty House got you again.
Well, they ain't get me. Kyle is the one.
And you took Kyle's remark to the radio. Now the whole world is wondering, is my league pass going to work on YouTube? Yes.
So now if I buy it on YouTube, just link it in on NBA app.
So when you go to log in on your NBA app, you log in, it'll ask you like what's your television provider, and you'll hit YouTube and you log in with your YouTube stuff and it'll link together.
Boom. There we go. YouTube TV almost got sent back to the store the other day because there was a buffering issue going on, and I said, wait a damn minute. We ain't doing this. I almost got went back to Comcast. I said, no, we ain't doing this. We ain't gonna be buffering while I'm trying to watch the game. I think it was during the playoff game or something like that. Like, no, we need to stop this. So I had to reset the router and everything was good. But it got dicey for a second. I almost took it right back to the store.
Are you sure it was YouTube's fault and not, you know, the internet that has occasionally had you buffering on Sports Sunday?
No, it might have been that. I mean, well, because the thing about it is, so downstairs is the extender.
You know, is this on the main house or is this on the...
There's only one house.
Wow.
There's only one house. What are we talking about?
Okay.
Yeah, what are we talking about? It's only one house. Stop with the rumors. But yeah, I got
the west wing or the east. Never mind. Go ahead.
It's just the regular house. That's all it is.
Yeah,
Sky, man. See, people believe you. That's why I get agitated, because people believe you. They believe you when stuff happens.
They post pictures. I've seen pictures of your backyards all over the internet. Your basketball court. Like, Jesse and I have seen them. I don't know what you're talking about. Like, everybody. I see you tagged in these pictures all the time.
And they're wrong. There's nothing close to what's going on. I got a regular, normal, nice house. I love my house, but it's just regular, nice, and normal. That's all it is, in a normal neighborhood.
Or a rich person.
In a normal neighborhood with regular, blue-collar, working-class people. Because that's what I am. That's what I am.
Okay.
Neither here nor there. The downstairs was, because, you know, you got the extender for your wireless connection.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I had to reset that, and then boom, he's back in there. Already snapped the ball to the next.
We'll play on.
I'm stuck.
Hold on, I'm stuck. So this job is blue collar, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, it's blue collar, yeah. We're grinding it out.
All right, buddy. There ain't nothing blue collar about what we do.
I got a hoodie on, bro. You got like a crew neck on.
This is a 49ers crew neck. What are we talking about? Now, what he has, that costs a little money. That ain't cheap. That T-shirt is not cheap.
Oh, well, you stop it. You're projecting again. You always do this.
I've been on the website. The T-shirt ain't cheap. It ain't cheap. I think that's the homegirl, right?
Yeah, Player Society. Yeah, yep.
It's not cheap, man.
Shout out Norm in the chat. Yeah. Casey uses a chainsaw one time, and now he's a blue-collar worker.
One time and one time only, I'll tell you that.
Dog, Kenny.
One time and one time only. I didn't mention it today. Matt George is going to be on at 3:20 today here on D'Lo and Casey. His Thursday hit with us. I was listening to Locked On. Matt was really excited about the game last night. And
yeah, he was,
I was right there with him with all the excitement.
Yeah, as it should be, as every Kings fan should be. I mean, of course, you want to walk away with those games with a win. With the schedule, I am kind of curious, like what Mike does. They play every other day, which is such an odd preseason thing. But they play every other day until shutting it down a week prior before the season starts. Now it's a lot better than the Lakers schedule, which you've probably heard a lot about the last couple of days, but.
Like, I know they play tonight, right?
The Lakers?
Yeah.
Well, the Lakers have all six games. They have six games, which is the most that you can have.
Do a lot of travel.
They're all on the road. One is in Milwaukee. So they have they're road tripping quite a bit here, and LeBron like said something about it. he tweeted like, why are we boarding a flight to go to Milwaukee? Probably not knowing that his franchise has set up a home and home with Milwaukee, and that's why he's in fact doing it.
Why is LeBron always complaining?
Bro, LeBron's 40 years old. Like, that's what you do when you tune 40. You just complain about everything.
LeBron always give. That's my boy, too. What are y'all always
Grandpa
complaining?
Simpson at this point, just mad.
Oh, them memes, they crack me up with Grandpa. And, like, Grandpa's sitting around with the kids, and he goes, and back in our day, it used to be cold in October.
That's funny. Not anymore. Times have changed, pal. Times have changed. But you mentioned it. Matt George is going to be with us. I'm curious what Mike's approach is. Do we see the same thing tonight? Do guys just run the first half? Does he look at the, we already played the Warriors. I'm not even going to play my guys tonight. I'll play them
Sunday.
Sunday against, was it Portland?
Yeah. I wonder if he's tired of playing the Warriors.
Doesn't even want to see his players out there.
Yeah, I don't know. I wonder if we see guys missing preseason games, you know, like not because something's wrong, but, you know, a rest day, you know, after because it is five games and they're going to play four games. Well, starting with yesterday, all five games are every other night, correct? Like that's the whole thing, right? So,
yep.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we'd see. We probably do see somebody play the last game. Everybody play the last game, because you might not want to go 12. You might not want to go nine days or so without playing.
Yeah, I didn't mean to imply that they don't play again.
No, I meant
does he want to play them against the Warriors again? Like, or and if you do, are you playing them the exact same way? Are we just, hey, we're going first half with these guys, or are we going first half and then first substitution,
mm-hmm,
where we're peaking perhaps on, I guess it would be Sunday,
yeah,
which would be closer to a regular rotation type of game, or at least as close as you can get before winding it back down in that last preseason game on Tuesday.
Our guy, Securing the Bagley in the Matthews Masters Chatty House, says Mike said they're going to play into the third quarter
tomorrow.
He said that today, I think. So,
okay.
I was thinking maybe you play him the same way tomorrow, and then Sunday you play him into the third quarter, because Sunday you're closer to that time when you're going to kind of shut them down, not shut them down, but wind them back a little bit before the season starts. So, but I guess he's going to do it on Friday.
But I like that idea. I like the idea of going into the third quarter, maybe even just the first rotation in the third quarter or in the second half tomorrow night, and then ramping up to something that's closer to a regular rotation, mm-hmm, on, and I still don't think it'll be a full rotation into that game on Sunday, before, you know, kind of pyramiding it back down. Because the other component of this, it's not just the preseason games, it's how quickly the preseason games are happening. Like, if this was a regular season schedule, it'd be like, oh man, they play every other day. Mm-hmm. If you can conserve some energy on one end, or if you can get a blowout and sit some guys here, like, you do that. Like, that's the type of stretch this is. Of course, it's the beginning of the season, but you don't want to put, or it's the beginning of the preseason, but you don't want to, you know, put any of your guys in a compromised position to where they're playing in a game that they're tired in.
Right.
You'd rather push through fatigue in practice than try to push through it in a preseason game. That's where you're a little bit more likely to get hurt.
And this is a difference between NBA and the NFL. Not like saying one's better, but in the NBA, they're using the preseason to ramp up. You know what I mean? And we're used kind of used to NFL preseason when they're like, it doesn't matter, we're not even going to play guys. Like, no, Mike Brown, other guys in the league, no, we're going to play. Like, we need to play. We need to get ready to hit the ground running come October 24th, first game of the season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I'm excited to see what this group looks like when everybody comes back. And, of course, we'll talk more about that with Matt George when he joins us coming up in about an hour and some change.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.